Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's a comma there, not the end of a sentence, but I'm going to go ahead and we'll start going through this, right? We observed the text. That means we read it. Now we're going to interpret it. We're going to talk about what it means, and we're going to apply it, what it means to me, how we can actually put it and apply it to our lives. So verse 2:1 says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You are responsible for what you have heard. You are responsible for what you do with it. Some people say, well, what about that person down there who doesn't know Jesus? Well, I don't think anybody in America has an excuse for not knowing about Jesus, because we have freedom of religion. We have churches everywhere. We have public libraries that are free, and they have copies of the Bible. Hotels typically have a copy of the Bible. Almost everybody in America has a phone, like an iPhone, where they can look up for free a Bible app and read the Bible. There's no excuse. Now, if you start going to other civilizations, right, listen to the other podcasts that we've done, and you'll hear about that. But there's no excuse. You know what must be done. You should understand by now that you are a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. The problem with a lot of our culture today in America is they say, I feel that this is not a sin. I feel like I should be able to do this. And they'll even build churches around it and come up with false theology by removing things from the Bible and taking things out of context. That is not what God does, right? He gave us the Bible, it's the whole counsel of God. And he tells us very sternly, do not add to this and do not take away from it, right? It is the infallible word of God. It is inspired by God, and he penned it through men. So we know what we got to do. And we want to do it. But our job, if you're a believer listening to this, is to say, okay, well, Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So our role is to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Our role is to go, G-O, not just stay put. We pray, we give money, we show and we tell. We show people what Jesus looks like through our deeds, and we tell people what Jesus, or the character of Jesus through our words, and we teach others. And you can't just say, well, I'm not a Bible beater, I'm not born again, I just go to church. Well, Jesus says you must be born again or you can't get to heaven. That is very clear, 100% clear from the Bible. Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast. So what's he saying here? Remember, this is an audience where people were trying to get caught up into the Jewish traditions of the day, especially the Hellenistic Jews, and saying, well, you got to do these things. And they revered and thought very highly of angels, who, you know, God gave the law to Moses through angels, and angels are very important to Judaism. And so they're like, who's this Jesus person, this man, whatever. And he's saying, well, if angels were important and gave the law through them, and then he says here, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. So God gave the law to man, not so that man could look at the law and say, I'm perfect. I have overcome and been perfect in every single aspect of these Ten Commandments, right? Now, today, Jewish people have over 600 and something laws that they're supposed to obey, all sorts of things, like being able to drive on the Sabbath or not, not being able to turn on electricity, etc. We're just talking about 10, right? The Big Ten, if you will. And God didn't give it to them and to us to say, I'm perfect, I've perfectly held every single one of these. He gave it as a mirror so that we could look at it and say, oh, I screwed up. I broke the law. Therefore, I need a Savior, right? That's what a lot of people in America need to understand today, who are living their life based on feelings and what they want, not what God says, because they don't feel that they're sinners. We look at certain things and we say that's open sin. There's no way you can call yourself a Christian because you have open sin for which you're unrepentant and the Holy Spirit living inside of you would not allow that to happen. Therefore, I can look at you and I don't believe that you're born again. Now, that's between you and God, but then people will take that as a cop-out and say it's a private relationship between me and God. It's like, no, if you actually have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, you wouldn't be saying and doing these certain things because that's incongruent with the Holy Spirit. So he gave us the law to reveal our sins. That you'd look at the law, right? Just go read the Ten Commandments tonight. And you're going to say, oh, I'm a sinner. Right? Do you covet? Do you lie? Do you steal? Do you murder? I've never murdered anybody. Well, if you've been angry with anybody, your spouse, oh, that's considered murder to God. Been angry with a friend, a colleague, a boss, a coworker, an employee, that's considered murder in God's eyes. Adultery, if you've looked at any, but even if you just looked at another woman or another man with lustful eyes and thoughts, that is adultery in God's eyes, right? So yes, we have failed, and he gave us the law, so that we would understand that. And he gave it through angels, so he's saying, if you broke the law and there was a consequence, then check this out. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So he's saying, if y'all had the law and that was so important to you, and it's important, but it's important to reveal sin, and you know there's a consequence to that, and the consequence is death and eternal separation from God, how much more important is it, this new covenant that Jesus, his blood on the cross, he was the ransom, he redeemed us, his sin was sufficient to fully put away sin forever, past, present, and future. How unbelievable is that, right? If the law basically told us we can't get to heaven, it's the gospel through Jesus Christ that tells us we can have eternal life with Jesus. That is what we want to understand. First, we need to understand that we're sinners so that we can understand that we need a Savior. So many people today say, I don't feel that this is a sin, therefore I don't need a Savior. But if we help them understand that it's sin, that's a loving thing to do. It's not pointing our finger and saying, you suck, you're horrible. It's saying, let me help you understand the Bible. Let's read it and understand what is sin, right? Then when you understand what sin is, you'll realize that you have sinned. And you can't live in open sin if you want the Holy Spirit living inside of you, right? Because the Holy Spirit wouldn't allow you to live in open sin. Rebellion, yes, but there'll still be some conviction. God's going to call you back. And so it says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So God spoke. It was confirmed through the apostles, confirmed through the people writing the Bible. It's like, yeah, the fact that God was going to send his son, God was going to come down himself to earth and die for our sins and be humbled and humiliated, and yet at the same time lifted up, because that is what a loving God does, right? God is love. Love doesn't mean turning a blind eye to sin. Love means helping hold people accountable, help them to understand their sin so that they'll recognize the need for a Savior. That is one of the biggest problems in America. So many people don't see that, and I want more people to understand this. Because I used to look around before I became a Christian and be like, why would I want to go to church? They're just going to tell me why I'm bad and what I'm doing wrong. And I think I'm pretty good. I'm better than that guy over there. I'm better than that girl. I'm better than Hitler and Mao and Stalin, all these nasty people. And then God was like, you're a sinner, Mike. You can't get to heaven without truly having embraced Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I don't just mean walking down the aisle. I mean, you wake up every day and you have a desire and a craving to read the Bible, to pray, because you want that relationship, because it's preeminent in your life. It is a priority. It doesn't take a back seat. And then verse 4, it says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So a lot of times the Jewish people wanted to see some kind of miraculous sign or miracle or wonder to go along with the speech. They're like, fine, say what you say, but show me too, right? And we do it today too. So many people are like, I just need to see a miracle, Lord. I need you to get me this job. I need you to heal my spouse. If you do that, then I'm going to love you. And God's like, there's a lot of miracles that you can look around and see. Just look at childbirth. That is a miracle, right? Do you need to look beyond there? Seriously? But God did a lot of miracles, and that is a supernatural feat, right? It is something that our natural world cannot explain. It is supernatural. And he did them all over the place. We saw people rose from the dead. We saw eyesight restored. We saw the lame walk. We saw water turn to wine. We have seen so many wonders and miracles by God. The parting of the Red Sea. We could go on and on and on. And he did that as part of kind of his deeds to show, right? He calls us to show and tell. Well, he also showed and tell. How did he show? Well, he created this incredible earth. He showed all these miracles through his, even before and after Jesus. But he did a lot of miracles through Jesus. And then he did it, you know, his words. He told us the Messiah was coming. He told us the Messiah is here. Said, this is my beloved son. Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. And he showed and he told. And we are to show and tell also. So may we remember that. Lord, we thank you so much. Help us to understand that we are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. Help us to understand that there are people all around us who don't know you. Break our heart for that, Lord. Help us to approach them lovingly and boldly, and not afraid to have a deep conversation. If we truly love them, then we're going to want to tell them about you. The most hateful thing we could do is to remain silent, not tell them, turn our back, to think, oh, I don't want to upset their feelings. I don't want them to be upset with me. Lord, give us the strength, the courage to go out and lovingly and boldly declare your name to people. Amen.